Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pratap Snacks Quarter 2 Investor Conference Call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Nayyar from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rohit. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome all the participants on behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities team and would like to thank the management of Pratap Snacks for giving us the opportunity to host them. We have with us Mr. Amit Kumat, MD and CEO, and Mr. Sumit Sharma, CFO. The company delivered a resilient performance in second quarter in a challenging demand environment with continued improvement in profitability. We would start with opening remarks from the management and then take questions from all the participants here. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manju. Good afternoon to all the participants and thanks for joining our Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. I trust all of you have reviewed our earnings document which was shared with you earlier. We have reported a resilient performance in Q2 FY24, including a 12% increase in sales on quarter-to-quarter basis amidst a challenging macroeconomic environment marked by uneven rainfall, sluggish demand, and heightened competitive pressure. Urban areas continue to perform better than rural areas, which have proved to be more susceptible to inflationary pressure. Even within the urban areas, the lower income population have witnessed impact on the discretionary spend due to all-round increase in cost. What we have seen is, with a bit of cooling of input prices in the last couple of quarters, the localized players have become a bit more active. So the increase in competitive intensity is visible in various pockets across the country. On a year-on-year basis, we have reported a degrowth of 4.2% in sales compared to the level attained in Q2 last year. The silver lining in the top line performance has been the strong growth in the namkeen category. As many of you know, we indicated a strategic focus on increasing share of namkeen in the revenue mix through initiatives such as range selling. These initiatives are yielding results as we have seen improved trend in the namkeen category this quarter. Another important highlight is that we reported our highest ever quarterly EBITDA of Rs. 38 crores. If you look at slide 26 of our earnings presentation, you will see that we have consistently registered EBITDA above 30 crores for the last three quarters, demonstrating that the improved trajectory of EBITDA is sustainable. This has been accompanied by an enriched margin profile as we reported an EBITDA margin of 8.8% in Q2 FY24. This marks an improvement of 400 basis points on a year-to-year basis from 4.8% in Q2 FY23. Further, the EBITDA margin has improved by 30 basis points on a sequential quarter basis from 8.5% in Q1 24 to FY 8.8% in Q2. As we have shared earlier, improved margins have been realized primarily through the structural improvement in our business model, due to compressed distribution structure achieved on the back of efforts over the last 3 years. The EBITDA margin trajectory has been further augmented by cost optimization measures and cooling off input prices. In order to strengthen our sales function, we have been steadily building up data analytics within our organization. We have also implemented Salesforce automation tools to guide our sales team with assisted order taking. This is helping to identify gaps in the market as well as optimize sales routes through geotagging of outlets. We have experienced significant benefits in the area where it has been implemented and will continue to roll this out across all markets. We are working on additional improvements in operational processes, savings in overheads as well as optimization in sales and distribution cost to realize further efficiencies. PAT during the quarter stood at Rs. 16.5 crores, growing 4 times when compared to PAT of Rs. 3.3 crores in Q2 FY23. A quick word on improving balance sheet. You would have noticed an improved cash position of 97.5 crores as of September 30, 2023, compared to Rs. 60 crores as of March 31, 2023. This has been achieved despite the CapEx commitments, the repayment of short-term borrowing, as well as payment of dividend for financial year 2022-23. We continue to enjoy debt-free status on a net basis, and our balance sheet is strong to support our growth plans over the next couple of years. We have managed to drive further efficiencies in average working capital from a level of 13 days in FY23 to 5 days as of H1 FY24. To summarize, we remain optimistic and believe the medium to long-term outlook is favorable on the back of sustained levels of economic activity and prospects for improved rural demand. In recent quarters, our focus was on implementing the steps to structurally enhance our margins. Now that margins have improved in a consistent and sustained manner, we have the headroom to make further investments into driving sales in an accelerated way. On that note, I conclude my remarks and we can open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Himanshu Nayyar. Please go ahead. Himanshu, sir. Please go ahead.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sir, to start with, if you can give some color on the details on the demand environment that you are seeing, I mean, on the ground. Because we have seen in the results of other companies as well, last two quarters at least, inflation has been coming off. But we don't really see that benefit, flowing through in our numbers. So do you think that benefit will come with a lag, and should we expect the volume numbers and revenues to improve in the near term? I mean, the current, at least in the next couple of quarters or so?
You see, Himanshu, since last few quarters, we have been seeing pressure on the demand side, especially in the rural markets and for lower income class in the urban markets on account of rising cost and inflation. We feel things should improve as inflation is going down. We are very optimistic about medium and long term. Further, we are now also using technology like sales growth automation to increase the range selling of for driving the sales growth. We feel our H2 should be better than H1 of this year with sustained operating margin.
Understood. And can you also talk a bit about the competitive intensity in our core markets? Have we seen any increased competition? Or what is your sense, whether we would have grown in line or ahead or below the market growth rate, at least in our segment, sir?
So I think the overall market is definitely growing, no doubt about that. But since the raw material prices have come down considerably across all the categories, also all the sectors, there are very smaller players who have come out in the market. So that competitiveness has definitely increased quite a bit. But going further, I think this was the first initial 6 months basically when the competition increased so much. Now it has reached to a level that it can't increase beyond this level. And most of the players we see have lost some market share in last two quarters. Most of the big players, in fact.
Understood. And sir, as you said that second half you see a better revenue performance, growth picking up. This was a credible performance on the margin side from you. Despite a year-on-year decline in top line, we have managed to increase our margin so significantly despite negative operating leverage. So with the growth coming back, positive operating leverage itself can make us go towards double-digit margins. Is that a fair assumption to have?
Sumit, if you can take that question.
Yeah, sure, Himanshu. Definitely, there will be an advantage of operating leverage, and that will also flow in the bottom line, and that's why we have been guiding for double digit EBITDA margin.
Mm-hmm. And finally, on the PLI side, I mean, I think it looks challenging, right, that we'll be able to reach the threshold revenues and get any PLI incentives at least for this year. But what's our outlook going forward? I mean, you think we will be able to get these PLI incentives in FY25 now?
Certainly, we are chasing for the PLI incentive for next year, definitely. And but as we mentioned on our earlier call as well, we are now very conservative in terms of accounting the PLI incentive. Now we are not accruing on a quarterly basis, and the income will be accrued only at the end of the year. Once that is ascertained, that we are eligible for the PLI incentive.
Got it. Great, sir. I mean, that's it from me. Thanks, and all the best to you guys.
Thank you, Manju.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So my first question is, so I think in FY23, we ended the year with Namkeen contributing 16%. So how do we see this, you know, in next 2-3 years, you know, where do we see that number?
Namkeen is a focus area for us, because you see Namkeen is about 43% for the industry. However, it's hardly 16% for us. So we see huge growth potential in the Namkeen category, and that is also reflected in the quarterly number. We have seen a strong growth in Namkeen category. We are targeting Namkeen to take to at least 20% to 23%. In coming years.
Okay. So if Namkeen has grown strongly, then I'm sure some part of the portfolio would have regrown. So can you give some color on that?
I think barring Namkeen, there is no significantly different performance for any of the product category. Namkeen is definitely outperformed because of our efforts, which we have been consistently putting for the last few quarters.
Okay. And in terms of contribution margin or gross margin, is Namkeen any different than other categories? It is lower, higher, you know, any sense on that?
Not very significantly different from rest of the categories. Namkeen, slightly lower gross margin, I would say. But again, there is a saving in freight cost because Namkeen has a better weight to volume ratio. So it ends up with the relatively lower freight cost as compared to the rest of the categories. So I think post freight cost, not significantly different from rest of the categories, largely aligned with the rest of the categories.
And, you know, there are some players who are, you know, extremely focused on this category and have a very large scale. So how do we intend to compete with them and grow? What is the growth? Because, you know, why would the competitive intensity not kind of, challenge our growth, if you can talk a bit about that?
I think we are already available on 2 million outlets, and our reach has almost increased by a few percentage in last two quarters. So I don't see any reason in growing. And secondly, probably if you break up in our coverage across the country product-wise, so still there is a lot of headroom available in Namkeen category, where probably we are present only in 30% of the outlets where Yellow Diamond is available as of today.
Okay, so mainly it would be the existing distribution channel will put in more SKUs on the Namkeen side. So what will catch up?
Yes, that's the target. Yes.
Okay. And any so how many distribution touch points that we have added in last 2 years, and what's the plan going forward?
I think it is currently around 2 million outlets. We don't have the exact number. There is both inclusive of direct and indirect reach, and that should increase by almost 5-7% every year.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, you know, we have shared a historical performance on slide 18 where we say that the organic growth used to be 18%. When do we feel we'll be able to go back to that growth, and what will it take? What initiatives, what steps, where is the gap?
If you see, basically, we haven't grown this quarter mainly because of the market conditions and the competitiveness. I think we should be back on the growth trajectory from the current quarter. And probably next year, probably we can be on the same growth trajectory we have been in the earlier years. But in the near short, we definitely see a little bit growth in the coming quarters.
Sir, even during this long period from 2014 to 20, there was competitive intensity from local players, from larger players, and we still managed to grow. But currently, we are struggling a little bit. Has anything changed?
I don't think anything has changed except the macroeconomical conditions in the country and the competitiveness. And we feel very confident that we should be back on the growth trajectory from the current quarter.
So, okay. We were changing our distribution structure the last couple of quarters. Is that largely complete now, or do we expect that to continue for another quarter or two?
It's largely complete. All the change in distribution is largely complete as of now.
So there should not be any incremental disruptions because of that?
No, there should not be.
And for H1 FY24, what has been our ad or marketing spends, and where do we expect it to be by end of this year, and aspiration for next couple of years?
Yeah, Alisha, hi, this is Sumit. For H1, the marketing spend is roughly about in the range of, say, 1.25% of the overall revenue, though we increased slightly in quarter two, especially for Gujarat market, where we have hired a brand ambassador, Dilip Joshi, to promote our brand, particularly in the Gujarat market. So we have spent some money to advertise Avadh in the regional market. But yeah, on an overall basis, it is roughly about 7.25 to 1.3% of the revenue.
And we expect it to be at that range for the end of the year and for next year also?
Yeah, for this year, I think that should remain in the same range. Next year, certainly we are planning to increase our ad spend, as we have communicated earlier as well, that once we see the sustainable EBITDA margin for few quarters, we would like to invest some amount for brand and building. So next year, we are planning to increase our ad spend to invest for brand building. But yeah, for this year, this would remain in the similar range of 1.25%.
And just one last question. We had a long-term aspiration of going back to double-digit margins, but what we've so far been defining is that now that, you know, the margins are slightly sticky, we would want to reinvest in the business for growth. So by when do we expect to go back to the 10% margin?
So next year, anyway, we are targeting double-digit EBITDA margin. So we just wanted to we just wanted to ensure that we are at almost at a double-digit EBITDA margin on a sustainable basis for a few quarters, and then only we wanted to invest for this brand building. So now this last 3 quarters gives us confidence that we are now close to double-digit EBITDA margin, and with scale of operation and rest of the things, the other process improvement measures, what we are managing today will definitely take us to double-digit EBITDA margin.
And the GMK plant, how is the ramp up over there? That has started, right?
The GMK plant will get commercially operated by, I think, by January 24.
There has been a delay in the GMK plant?
No, initially we were targeting by end of December, and I think by first week of January should be operational.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Madlani from Kamayakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead. Hello.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was around top line. So I just wanted to know the decrease in top line that we saw. How much proportion of that would be, you know, contributing towards the volume rather than the impact of inflation?
I think about 1.5% would be the pricing impact, and the rest is volume.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah. Around 1.5% would be the pricing impact, and rest okay. is the volume impact.
Okay. Yeah, because I was back calculating. So if we, and correct me if I'm wrong, so if we want to pursue the PLI benefit for this year, we'll have to do somewhere around 1200 crores of top line for H2, which would be a approximately 50% jump compared to last year. So are we confident that can we achieve that?
No, we are not guiding. We are not guiding for this kind of growth. And as Amit has also mentioned, that because of the macroeconomic condition, especially rural market and even in urban market where we are serving essentially the lower income class people, we are seeing some pressure on account of higher inflation and cost pressure for the demand side. So things are improving and we are also driving our sales growth by using the technology like Salesforce automation. But we are not guiding for kind of extraordinary growth. I think the growth will be gradual over the period, next couple of quarters.
Okay.
So we have not recognized PLI incentive on an annual basis.
Sure. Okay. And what would be our utilization for the half year?
The overall utilization level is roughly in the range of close to 60-62% on an overall basis.
Okay. And what would be the contribution across the categories for H1?
I think the proportion is not materially changed as compared to last year.
Okay.
Largely in line with the last year. Yeah.
Okay. And can we assume that with the J&K capacity, coming in January, FY25, we can, utilize approximately 80%?
Utilization is a function of sales growth, sir. So it depends how are we able to drive the growth. We are targeting for at least 15% growth on an year-on-year basis.
Okay. No, because
very aggressive. 80% would be very aggressive number.
Okay. Down the line. So if I'm not wrong, with the adding capacity of J&K, the potential revenue we can generate is somewhere around 2700 crores. If I'm not wrong.
Absolutely right. So with J&K facility and the upcoming Rajkot expansion, so there are two projects going on. We are also adding capacity in Rajkot, which will be operational by end of this financial year. So including both the proposed expansion, the revenue potential would be roughly about 2600 to 2700 crore.
Okay.
So no incremental capex would be required to drive the growth, I think, and that's why we feel the incremental capex would be much lower, and that will also help us to improve our return ratios, return on capital employed.
Sure. And any gradual improvement have you seen especially in the rural market in this last couple of months?
Not really. I think everyone was expecting that closer to Diwali, the market will improve, but don't see any significant improvement in the rural market.
Okay. Yeah, fine. That's it from my side. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohtagi from Coin Plus Advisories. Please go ahead.
No, hi. I've got my answer in the previous question, so I'm okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Namit Arora from India Growth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So my question was, you know, since the IPO, it could be macro, it could be micro, it could be a combination. But, you know, any learnings that you had as a company, you know, that things you may have done differently or you would do differently in the future. I'm just trying to see, you know, that at the time of the IPO, you had a solid foundation, brands and potential. But perhaps, you know, the delivery has been softer than maybe your own expectations or the market's expectations. So just some reflections from you and how you are learning from that to do things differently going forward. Thank you.
Very good question. If you see, the COVID times were really tough. We are basically an impulse purchase product selling company in the rupees 5 segment. So we were definitely hit a lot during the COVID period. So if you have to go back, I will definitely think that if we have more brand purchase sale or home purchases, it would have been much better. But since the COVID is gone, probably again that is out of mind. But definitely would love to be at a home purchase segment where people can buy and take it home rather than just consume on the road. That the first thing probably would like to change. Secondly, the modern trade and e-commerce sales is very negligible in our segment, if we can improve that. These are the two sectors probably where we are missing right now.
Got it. That's very helpful, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your candid thoughts.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Jagyot Singh from India SME Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand, we are actually already catering to the lower middle group and the rural customers. So just wanted to understand what would be the next leg of growth. I mean, we have already catered these people and the geographies, and you know, do we have plans to, you know, launch new categories and, you know, new products to cater to the more urban environment where you have been seeing traction and growth?
I think India is a huge enough market as far as potential is concerned. We are present only in 2 million outlets out of the 8 million outlets where snack foods are available. And secondly, if you see our portfolio, barring apart the extruded snacks, most of the categories we are present only in 30% of the outlets where our brand is available. If you take example of sweet snacks or namkeen, we are available probably only in 500,000 outlets compared to overall 2 million outlets. So there is a huge headroom available. Secondly, we are definitely trying to get into urban markets with rupees 10 and 20 packets. There has been some improvement in chip sales in that segment, which used to be around 10 to 15% of other than 5 rupee segment, which is currently around more than 30% sales, which comes from 10 rupees and 20 rupee segment in the chips category.
Right. And secondly, have you been facing competition from these regional players?
Yeah, definitely we are facing competition from the regional players. Everyone else is facing in this company, in this sector, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And you had mentioned that you have taken some cost optimization measures, which have been, getting some improvements in the EBITDA margins. So just wanted to understand, can you throw some light on it?
So
if you talk about the total cost optimization from the sales side and the production side, sales side we have definitely cut down one channel cost and we have almost saved 3%, which we have been doing for last 2.5 years. As our production side is concerned, we have done enough to improve the yield and get better productivity out of the existing staff and labor.
Mm-hmm. Good. I think good, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Natik Mohata from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. So my question is on the guidance which you have given of 15% growth in FY24 or in FY25. Because if we are targeting this growth in FY24, I believe we have to do 30% growth in second half compared to last year second half.
I said FY25.
Okay. Okay. And what kind of
recovery? Yeah.
Sorry, sir. And what kind of growth in 24?
24, I mentioned that there will be a gradual recovery as there are challenging macro environment. But we feel that there should be gradual recovery and H2 should be better than H1.
Okay, okay. So we are not going to see degrowth in this year, right? I believe we can do like a flattish kind of growth this year.
We are certainly chasing for a decent positive growth for the for FY24.
Okay. And sir, our margins will be similar somewhere between 9 to 10% in H2, right? This is going to be a bottom.
I think margin, we should remain in the similar range, what is there in H1. With scale of operation, there will be an advantage in the bottom line. But largely should remain in this range, 8.5 to 9% sort of range.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Yash from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the revenue contribution from the East and South market. So sir, as of now, we earn more than 70% of our revenue from West and North market. So sir, what are these market more competitive or how are you trying to increase the market range in the East and South market?
So basically, South market, we were the late entrant in the South market. We are definitely now started focusing on the Southern market. We are developing few products, especially for the South India market. And we see good growth coming probably in few more after few quarters from the South India market. East market, we have been doing good. Basically, we have plant in Guwahati and Calcutta, and we have started one 3P facility in Patna probably a few months back only. So we are confident to grow in both the markets in times to come. Still, the contribution of North, West and Central is much more than South and East as of today.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Fellow from Ratan Tarya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, am I on?
Yes.
I understand that the broadly split across the segments have been the same. Across the product segments, could you just rank in terms of pressures, which segment is it, excluding snacks, chips or numkeens, where you're feeling the maximum and where is it that sort of, you're feeling the least amount of competitive pressure and macroeconomic headwinds? That's all I wanted to know. If you just had to rank the three product segments and where is it that you are feeling the most pressure?
So the least pressure is in numkeen. Let us go other way around. And probably the maximum pressure would be in potato chips.
Understood. But the splits have broadly remained the same as last year, is what you are saying.
The percentage probably namkeen has increased a little bit from last year.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Tushar Khurana. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the, so we were going aggressive on entering into the modern trade for our namkeen and chip segment. So may I understand what steps are we taking on that front? And as I understand, for now it contributes less than 1% to our overall revenue, but what is the end goal that we have in our mind for this?
We started with Reliance 2 months back. That is giving us decent volumes right now. We are trying to get into DMart and other one standard outlets across the country. I think it will take some time. Getting entry into modern trade is not easy. We used to supply in DMart probably DMart 2 years back, but because of the inflationary pressure and availability of raw material, we discontinued the supply. Now we are trying again to get into DMart, probably post the Diwali, we'll try to get in at DMart.
Okay, and Amit sir, if I recall right, a few months ago you were guiding for 500 CR kind of revenue that we may be able to achieve in Q3. So I just want to understand, given the current situation in the rural market and everything, is that still achievable?
I don't think it is not achievable right now, but probably one more two quarters down the road we should be able to get to that number.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Ankur Gulati. Please go ahead.
Sir, a quick question. A couple of quarters back, our EBITDA margin used to be 5%. Now you've saved 3% from channel. So how much saving do you expect from cost optimization from this point onwards?
So in medium term, we are expecting to have saving roughly about 7.5 to 2% from various process improvements and optimization in selling and distribution cost.
This is incremental from this quarter onwards?
Yeah, this is incremental from this quarter onwards, but it is in medium term, not immediately. We have started working on these directions. And this will start flowing in a gradual manner.
Quick question. So if I look at 5% EBITDA, 3% saving came from sales and distribution, right? That is already achieved. What about the saving from raw material cost decline? And when do we expect that?
So I'm not sure which quarter particularly you are referring to at 5% EBITDA, but let me take you through our slide number 19 and slide number 20. If you refer our slide number 20, you'll see that our pre-COVID average EBITDA margin used to remain in the range of say 6.9% for around, which is currently 8.6% for H1 current year. And if you compare the key raw material pricing between these two periods, there is an inflation of about 44% in palm oil price. There's an inflation of about 30% in corn. These are key raw materials for us. And there is saving in packaging laminate, about 3% price reduction in the laminate over these periods. So palm is a key raw material, which is a common raw material for all the products. And with the severe inflation of, say, 45%, we could able to expand our EBITDA margin from 6.9% to 8.6%, and that is primarily on account of changes what we have made over the period, and that includes compression of our distribution network, which has given us about 3.25% incremental margin, and other process improvement, including various cost optimization things at operations level, changing the recipe, changing some of the manufacturing process to get better yield, better utilization of our other resources, optimization in some of the optimization logistic cost primarily. So these kind of changes we have made. And so that's how we could able to get to this improved EBITDA margin.
Sir, if I look at same slide, your third quarter financial year 23 is 5.5. Correct?
Yes.
So if I add sales distribution cost saving of 2.5 on top, I reach 8%.
No, no. FY23 includes the saving of 3%.
Understood.
We
understood.
Yeah, that already includes. Yeah.
Can you give me volume and pricing growth on average year on year and quarter on quarter, please?
So generally, we have a volume growth because we track, for us, volume is the number of packets because we sell in our product as a packet.
Okay.
So generally, in our business, it's all volume-led growth.
So year-on-year decline is why? Because volume fell down?
Year-on-year decline is because of two reasons. One is some decline is on account of the pricing, which is about 1.5%. And rest is volume.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you so much for the opportunity. So just one question. You mentioned for palm oil laminate and corn, I think it's there in your presentation as well. How are potato prices and spices? These are also sort of important raw materials for you. If you can just highlight, what are the kind of trends that you are, seeing in these? In current trend,
in the
particularly more from a second half.
Yeah, so no, but potato is basically the fresh crop, basically which comes during the month of December. So it's very difficult to predict the price of the new crop. But as of today, potato pricing are in line with basically what the target was. And we are using the potato crop which we kept in month of February and March. After Deepavali, the old potatoes are basically cannot be consumed. The fresh crop is basically which is coming from Manchar, Pune, and then Punjab, and then Indore. Very difficult, but I think it is in line with what the target is.
Okay.
Spices prices have gone up considerably, but the impact is not much. I think that is if basic spices prices have gone up by 10 to 20%.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Ankur Gulati. Please go ahead.
Sir, a follow-up question. If I look at quarter on quarter, the revenue growth is largely volume driven. So any views on what kind of market share gain we had?
Market share, I think it's largely would be flat. I don't have the exact data, but to my estimate should be largely flat.
So then it implies that the whole industry volumes have grown by the same percentage.
No, I said I don't have the exact data.
Okay.
So prepare to give the exact answer.
Let me rephrase. Do you guys have geographical split? If you've added new geographies, so how much of that growth came from new geographies?
There is no addition of new geography.
Okay. Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us on this call today. We look forward to interacting with you again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.